What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Backpacking Podcast. As always, John Kelly here with Jeremiah Stringer, the king of Kentucky backpacking. Jeremiah, how are you, my friend?
Hey, dude. I'm doing fantastic. I'm here to blink, and I'm here to smile.
Yeah, I'm just here to spit all over my microphone like I did just now. I look down, it's like sparkly from all the spit all over it just now. So, man, you just went on a big trip, didn't you?
Dude, last week I went to the Watts of New Hampshire. Well, I guess technically it was a week and a half ago now.
Well, that's last week for me.
Yeah, and I actually did a trip video for this one. For those that don't know, I have a YouTube channel called Jeremiah.
Wait. Can we back up about 12 words? Can you say that again? You did what?
I filmed a trip video on this one.
Whoa.
Yeah, I think my last trip video may have been when we went to Colorado. I was just like, man, this is too epic. I can't pass it up.
Man, that's pretty awesome. Like, I literally can't remember the last time. I think the last time you did a trip video, I was in it, and it was in 2020.
Hey, that could be it. Bridget, my wife, she keeps telling me, she's like, you need to do some trip videos. And I was like, well, okay, I'll do a trip video on this one. And I knew it was going to be an experience, you know. I'd never been anything like that. So I was like, it's going to be snowy. It's going to be cold. I don't think I'm going to bring my camera. It's already hard enough to travel with all that backpacking equipment. So I was like, I'm going to shoot it with the iPhone. And I got to tell you, I was highly satisfied with how the audio and the video came out.
Nice. Nice. I mean, the guy's already starting. Look at this. It's already there, man. It's already there. Like, it's starting early tonight. It's starting real early tonight. So, yeah. I don't know if you get into it. I love car camping. Do you do any car camping?
Dude, I just got a tent sent to me by this company. They said, if you like it, make a video. If you don't, send it back. I said, okay, I'll try it out. And it's one of those that goes in the back of your truck bed.
Oh, yeah. I thought about getting one of those.
I've never tried it before, but I'm going to try it out, see if Bridget likes it.
Nice. I actually, I've got a massive 6-person car camping tent. It's so big, like a 6-foot man can walk inside of it. I'm really not kidding. And it's got a huge vestibule that closes up and you can sit like 4 chairs inside of it. It's the perfect car camping thing. And me and my buddy Josh are going this Wednesday. We're going to do some car camping. We just wanted to go outside. So we're literally going to a camp. We're camping out overnight and then just coming back to work the next day.
That's good for the soul though.
We need it, man. You got to get outside. You know, I don't know. A lot of people know what I do for a living. I work in a church, and this was the busiest weekend of the year for me. Like it always is. Easter's like the busy, by the way, happy Easter, everybody. But it was the busiest weekend of the year and I'm exhausted, like absolutely worn out, exhausted. So, I'm real excited that Hunter's going to be here because Hunter brings the energy.
Yeah, dude, this guy, I went backpacking with him. So at some point last year, we went a few times, but I remember one trip, it's just me and him. And I was like, I'm going to go as ultralight as I possibly can. I think we got my backpack down to, it was under 15 pounds with water included, I think.
Wow. And a Jeremiah Stringer backpack.
Yeah, it may have been 17 pounds. I can't remember. And he helped me pack it and repack it because I was going frameless on that one. And dude, he totally out hiked me. I come back. And
that's not surprising. He out-hikes everybody.
I was sore for 2 or 3 days, and I was all beat up. We done like 25, 30 miles. It's crazy.
Yeah, I got to hike with him at Grayson Highlands. That was fun. And you're right. He's a hiking machine, dude. He's the only guy I've met who keeps up with Miyagi.
Yes. Put you to shame, man, in those sandals.
I know. He wears sandals to hike in. You know, we should probably quit talking about him and get him on the show so we can talk to him. Does that sound like a good idea?
Hey, let's bring him in, man.
All right, right now, our good friend Hunter Musgrave from Hunter's Trip. What's going on, buddy?
Yo, got the camera to work. That's all that matters.
Good.
All right, man. You look great. So
thank you.
You have, as I see, have been doing a ton of backpacking, not only you, but you also have been going with your girl there, Tags.
Oh, yeah.
Jessica.
Oh yeah. We've been staying busy, man. We just planned to do the Bartram Trail, and we're going to do our own little side loop of it. That'll be our next hike, and we'll get into it. But she just attempted an FKT of the Lone Star Trail, which, man, she cranked out 45 and a half miles in one day. So if you think I hike hard, Jess is on the crazy. We get along pretty well.
Now, Jess, though, she's also a former fitness model, right?
Oh, yeah. She has done it all. Fitness training, obstacle course racing. So, like, the Spartan race, she works for a company that's called Savage Race, and she went to Worlds by doing that, which is, like, in its own right, just a crazy sport. So, I'm fit. Wow. She's overly fit. She puts me to shame.
Is it hard going to the gym with a girl who works out harder than you?
Yes. Oh my God. Oh, I'm glad you said this. She's going to love this. She's going to eat this up. We've been doing these like lifts that her and her friends established for the Savage Race company. And I'm all like, oh, okay. We run a mile. We lift some weights. We run another mile. We'll be done in 30 minutes. It's fine. And I go out of there pouring sweat. It's intense. She keeps me up and tries to keep me gaining weight. You know, I'm a skinny guy. And, she's got me on a regimen to like get up there. So yeah, she kicks my butt always.
Well, that sounds pretty crazy. She was supposed to join us tonight, but yep. She has prior obligations that had to be taken care of. So we're here with Hunter, and man, I'm so excited to talk to you. I know that recently you all did the Appalachian Trail together, and Give me kind of a bird's eye view, an aerial view of what that's like.
Oh man. I would just call it right place at the right time. I don't know, cause I wasn't even planning on through hiking, but as an outside perspective viewing it in, it was probably the most beautiful in the moment thing you can ever do. You forget the whole relativity of time and how time affects your day. You don't care what day it is. You just know that your goal is to reach an endpoint by winter, which for our case was October 8th, which, you know, we hike fast, but we took our time. So it took her a little bit longer than me because she got on trail before I did. But we're talking like 6 months on trail of hiking 15 to 25, 28 mile days. And we did a different approach than many people did. So we stayed in towns longer. We did 3 or 4 days at a lot of towns just to really soak in the towns. So if we ever travel again, we know the experience to go in, so we don't waste time in towns we don't want to. But I would say like it was like 90 Day Fiance, because we met up and like we were friends, and then a relationship developed and then turned into this amazing trail couple. And now we do everything together, which is amazing. So it's nice having someone who can keep up with you and keep you in check and is obsessed with gear as you are. So it's pretty fantastic.
Okay. Now hold up a second. I want to talk about this. You just said something and I'm having trouble believing this. You met a girl who is as obsessed with gear as you are.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Listen.
She bought me this hoodie.
I have had conversations with you about gear, man. And there are like two other people I know who are more connected than you are in gear. So she's as into it as you are.
She is. She's obsessed with all the new gear materials. She doesn't know the terms and the weight, and she doesn't know like the different deniers, but she knows enough to be dangerous. So whenever there's a new material come out, I'll let her know about it and she'll remember it. But she makes sure that when we get quality stuff, it's quality stuff. And you know, like she even came out, like her first gear set was a Light AF backpack, Big Agnes tent, Thermarest, X Light. She was already ultra light when I met her, and I just sure had to repack stuff to make it even tighter. But yeah, she's more into the gear side as like fashionable, as in like even this hoodie, like she got this for me. So like this is one of 47. So yeah, of course she gets exactly what I'm about with like the one of ones and custom and super rare stuff. Yeah, she's all about it.
That's awesome. Well, hey man, have you ever thought about using a poop hammock?
Only with Jeremiah. I would only use it with Jeremiah. And I brought up the question to Jess, but I got Jess using a bidet for a while there in the 100 mile wilderness. So I use bidet over a poop hammock, but Jeremiah has one, so I'm pretty sure I could try it next time we go to Kentucky.
Here's the reason I'm asking. The Porter Privy is actually online with us tonight. So
Porter Privy.
We would have this is somebody who is his is whether they know it or not, they are backpacking royalty for this channel, because not only do they have interesting gear, but it has to deal with poop. And if it has to deal with poop and it's interesting gear on this channel, you might as well be considered hiker royalty. Am I right, Jeremiah?
Hey, dude, you nailed it on that one.
And he's telling us you should try one right here. You should try one.
Yeah, send me one. Yeah, I'll throw my address. I'll throw my address in there. You send me whatever. I'll use it.
Like the Honest Image Production wants to know, what am I chewing on? This is terrible for my teeth. Okay. But you know, the plastic ring around the bottle top, for some reason, I like to pull those off and chew on them. I don't know why. Sometimes I chew on my dental flossers too. And it's gotta be bad for my teeth, 'cause I know it's a petroleum based product.
Do you pick between your teeth with it?
This one?
Yeah.
No, I just chew on it. It probably not.
Then you'd be doing something like productive with it.
I'm just harming my pearly whites, but I want to ask Hunter a question, because I'm pretty sure, yeah, Everyday Backpacker says only Jeremiah. I think that you might be the first guest that we've had on that did the AT just as a couple. We've had families on. We've had mother and daughter. We've had full families. But and with kids and everything, but I think you all are the first couple, if I'm not mistaken. And I was really curious how you all did your kind of living situation while out on trail, because I know I still have your hammock, by the way.
I know that's a guilty excuse to come to Kentucky to say, hey, Jeremiah, let's go hike in the Red River Gorge. You have my hammock.
Jeremiah's that friend. He's the guy that borrows your gear and just never gives it back.
At least he cleaned it. He sent me a picture of him cleaning it. He posted on his Instagram, so at least I know it's in good hands.
I'll give it any time, man. But
Jeremiah, they're not letting you go right now, by the way. I hope your dentist isn't on here.
Jeremiah's just ginseng,
it's ginseng flavored.
Oh, that's funny. Well, I know you're big on the hammocking, and I believe the last time we went, it was me, you, and Jonathan Slider, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Jonathan's a good guy.
Oh, yeah, he is. I just went with him a couple weeks ago. And you had a tarp on that trip.
Yeah. And
I was curious what you and Taps did while you were all out there. Did you do the tent life, or you already said it was ultra light, and I know you can kind of split some weight and stuff, but what did you all have going?
So you're going to think this is quite hilarious. I carried my tarp and bivy from day one to the last day, and I used it the first night. And then we used her Big Agnes UL Fly Creek 2 the whole time. I carried the poles, and she carried the inner. It looks like I'm frozen. I don't know what's going on.
On the really hot days, that could not have been comfortable, because I have that tent, and I hate it.
It was actually pretty great. You know, we didn't have any issues at all. It looks like I'm still frozen. I don't know what's going on. But
how are you doing that without moving your lips? That's amazing.
There we go. So we used the Big Agnes tent, and it was actually pretty great. You keep both doors open, and we didn't have any issues with condensation. We never got wetted out, even in torrential downstorms like in New Hampshire and Maine. We were in 8 days in North Carolina in boots off in a massive hurricane. We had no issues. We had two hurricanes on trail in Vermont, and we only had to stay in the hotel for one of those. So if I was to ever recommend a tent, which you know me, I don't like tents. They don't make sense to me. I would say the Big Agnes tent was probably the best tent I've ever used. That thing is still holding up. We still use that. We just went out, and I did a little bit, and she did the whole thing of the Foothills Trail, and it's still treating her. She's got over 2,500 miles on that tent, and it's still rocking strong.
You should see when you try and fit Jeremiah in that tent.
Is that the dog door tent?
Yep, that's the dog door tent I made you use that one time.
Bro.
I'm talking about the one you enter from both sides. Are you talking about the one you enter from the beginning?
Yeah, that's the Fly Creek.
Okay.
So is your, the one you're talking about the Fly Creek? Because I just
Tiger Wall two.
Now that's a good tent.
Sorry about that.
Okay, that's a good tent. The Fly Creek sucks. That's a good tent.
It was a great tent.
Tiger Wall's a really good tent. Yeah, no, I'm with you now. I 100% agree with you now.
I wouldn't recommend the 0.34 Dyneema version. I've seen people tear it. I would not recommend that. And until they make a 0.74, I wouldn't even use a 0.5. Until they use a 0.74, I wouldn't do a Dyneema tent. This doesn't seem safe with poles.
I have a little story about that tent. I don't personally own one, but myself and my wife was on this backpacking trip, and we were with another couple, and they had that tent, and we set up in the rain, dude. We were at the gorge, and everything was flooding. I actually made a trip video of that one. It's worth checking out. We had to cross like this river on this giant tree to the other side, and they set up their tent basically in standing water, and it was that tent, and they didn't get, they didn't get wet. It didn't leak through at night. And I mean, that thing is bomb proof, man. That's a quality tent.
100% is bomb proof. If, like I said, I don't like tents, I would never take one out personally, but that would be the tent. If you're as a couple, it makes sense to do a tent. So it's faster for me to say, hey, Jess, or Taps, because it was Taps and Black Cat. So like, I have identity crisis still to this day, but I would go get water. And she would start setting the tent up. When I got back, I would put my pad in, blow it up. She'd blow hers up. We'd eat, get rid of our food, pass out. So we had it down to a science. But it was perfect. It takes 5 or 6 minutes to set that tent up at most.
So you said you carried your tarp and your bivy and used it on the first day, right?
Day one, that's the only time I ever used it. Literally the first day.
You want to hear something crazy?
What's up?
Here it comes. One time on the long trail.
When I was on the long trail.
One time on the long trail, I took a duplex tent that wasn't mine, and I tore it, so I put DCF tape on it.
And I used it on the very first day, and not a single other time. The whole time. And you know, that what you just said about the repairing it, had to put DCF tape on it, it was Mr.
Bowser.
That was on that first day. I set it up that first day, and I was like, oh, this has definitely got a tear in it. And I texted him, felt so bad. I was like, this is an expensive tent. But
and he still likes you.
He still likes
you. After all this time, you guys are still tight.
Well, he's the one that asked me about going to New Hampshire. We made it happen.
That's
pretty awesome. You got to tell me about your experience in the Whites. We had a great time in the Whites. They were probably the hardest hiking I've ever done, like right outside of Mahoosuc Notch. That was insane, but. Yeah, we had Mount Washington on a beautiful 70 degrees blue sky day. It was crazy.
I am so jealous, dude. We were supposed to go summit Mount Washington on this trip, and we kept checking the weather, checking. And, of course, you can't really count on the weather forecast for that kind of situation, that elevation and that kind of geographic location, but we decided to bail on the plan to summit Mount Washington because, like, I was looking and it was like negative 50 degree wind chill or something. It was like negative 1 degree. The high was, I don't know, in the teens. It was just ridiculous. So we went up a different mountain. But sounds like you didn't encounter any snow whenever you were in the Whites. You must have hit it a little earlier in the year.
We hit the Whites. Yeah, a little bit earlier in the year. I don't remember the exact time frame that we hit it on. Like, I remember all the like memories and the locations and names, but I don't remember the time. Time just disappears from you, except for the summit of Katahdin. But we hit it. It was crazy. So like when we hit Franconia Ridge, we were like, we have to do it at this day. I was coming back from a funeral. I had to fly out to Texas in the middle of the through hike because my grandfather died. So I flew back, which was a crazy flight. Like flying after you've been on trail for a long time just throws your brain in a different way. Like you don't understand speed, but we came back and we jumped on the Franconia Ridge, and we had Franconia Ridge at like 75 degrees, partly cloudy, just gorgeous, just not that much wind. Oh man, like we hit the Whites in the right way. It was great.
Yeah, I bet. That's the visibility awesome. Was awesome.
Oh yeah, it was for miles and miles and miles. You could see all the other mountain ranges, the Presidentials. It was different. I mean, that's rugged country, so it's super exposed. I think the day after we left, there was like 180 to 200 mile an hour winds up there, which was like pretty extreme. But even the day we were on there, that was still like 70 degrees and nice. You still had 45 mile an hour wind, so it's no joke. The mountain.
Oh yeah. Insane.
Yeah, it's scary. You see this comment here? Taps and Trail, hey, y'all. Sorry.
Oh, we miss you. We wish you could be here.
She said she wasn't going to get on because she was sad. Hey, babe.
Everybody say hello. Yeah, dude. I was wanting to know, you know, you're talking about like going and flying and stuff. And I always think after a few days in the woods, even like if you're out there for 4 days, I feel like you really start getting a mindset shift. And then when you get around people, there's almost this cloud. I don't know about for you, but for me, there's like almost a cloud of anxiety being around that many people after being alone. And there's no, like, the noise pollution so low, the air is so clean. Your sense of time, like you're describing, is basically gone while you're out there in the woods. And your purpose is to enjoy yourself and refresh, recover, and just survive, basically. But I was wondering how to ask this? What kind of shifts in mindset did you see as you were doing the trail and as you finished and got back to the reality of the world that we kind of live in with the jobs and punching in, punching out and time schedules and all that?
Yeah, that's a perfect question because a lot of people don't think about that when you're going to do a thru hike. They just envision the wanderlust of, oh, you quit your job and you just go to the woods and hike and it will all work out when you get home. And it doesn't, man. It's a whirlwind of emotions. So I guess I knew I was going to thru hike on trail days last year. There was a lot of stuff going on in my life where the past relationship I was in wasn't going well. I wasn't doing great with my work. It was just mentally stressing on me because I work in a retail environment. And I was like, you know what? My car battery died one day and I was like, that's it. I'm through hiking the trail. I got on and just went. And that was one of the most liberating feelings, knowing that I could go out there. I could support myself. I could hike. I could still pay for rent while I'm on the trail, which is extremely expensive to do. But I got to come home to an apartment, which is perfect. You budget about $1,000 a day. So immediately you're like, okay, we're taking credits. No, sorry, what? A month. Jeez.
Well, oh, I was going, I've never through hiking the Appalachian Trail ever.
So you budget $1,000 to $1,200 a month. And again, that's before these times. Obviously, everything's more expensive now. But I would say like $1,500 to $1,800 now. And you just try to stay on trail 5 to 6 days a week and maybe a hostel or maybe a hotel if you're bougie and want to stay somewhere nice. And
Jeremiah's real bougie, dude.
Jeremiah's, oh, we can camp and there's hotels. Just go hit the hotel.
If that hotel doesn't have a bidet, he's not staying in it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but that's kind of the thing is you have an optimistic bias. So Jess and I kind of went over the idea of, you know, you're at your best when you start. If you're someone like her and I, we're always in peak physical condition. You want to ask us to do 25 to 28 miles? We'll do it. You want to go ask us to do 5,000 to 7,000 foot of elevation gain in a day? Let's go do it. No complaints. Hop on. Let's go. So there's a point of diminishing returns when it comes to hiking. So for us, Jess hit that issue, I'd say probably a month and a half in, where she started to get a lot of pain. But my issues didn't really occur until, I'd say, right around 2 months in. And my camera's doing something weird, so let me unplug it, plug it back in.
Well, I got to tell you, you kind of mentioned this, but like paying rent and basically like your bills. You said your car battery died, and that was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. But where Bridget and I are wanting to do the Camino de Santiago, I feel like that's one of the biggest stressors for me is like I have two dogs at the house. I have a house payment. I have all your normal bills that you would have in everyday life. All those bills exist for me while I'm gone for a month or a month and a half in some other country on this great adventure. But I feel like, you know, it's worth it to make those sacrifices, but I still know it's very expensive to even set your sights on something like that, because like I said, those bills don't just go away. Still have to pay car insurance, still have to pay for my house. I guess the groceries and that kind of stuff kind of roll into your budget while you're out there. You don't have to buy those things at home, but
you still have the budget 100%. I was still paying $1,000 rent every month. Sorry, I'm still working on my camera. $1,000 rent every month. I still paid my car off the whole time of $250 a month. I still paid for car insurance. I still paid for heat and electric, which was nothing. But yeah, I still paid a lot out of pocket, but I saved up a whole bunch of vacation time at my work. So my work paid me for 3 of the months I was out there the whole time.
Wow.
So I had actually worked out great in my perspective to where I was still collecting money. And then till at the very end, right before I was about to finish, they didn't pay me. And that almost was a terrible financial decision. So that really threw me for a loop and put me in a negative headspace, because a lot of people don't know that you have to have money to come back home to spend. You can't just live off of your savings for forever. So I would say I spent about $8,500 on the trail, which is a lot more than most people. But that's also counting into, you know, rent, car, you know, stuff that was also on the trail and off the trail. But it's not expensive to do it. I know we have a friend that lives around you guys, Carp Attack. He did it in 2018, I believe, and he did it for $2,500.
Are you talking about the AT?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did it in 2012.
2012.
Yeah.
$2,500, man, that is like...
It's a budget hike.
Yeah.
That dude ate so many ramen noodles, and that was back when ramen noodles were like 15 cents. Like, yeah, he ate so many ramen noodles on that trail.
Oh, by the way, Trips on the Trail says hello.
Oh, and yeah.
Miyagi on the Trail says, my trail son.
That's my dad. That's my dad. I'm sorry I'm running these technical difficulties, guys. It was working fine before we got on here.
Nah, that's all right. You know, it's fun. If you've ever hiked with Miyagi and Hunter together, you will get lost about 15 seconds into the conversation, because they can talk about every technical aspect of every connector, every fabric, every piece of gear that you've got. They know every detail about it. And you just sit there in this like state of awe over the fact that you feel like a complete moron because you have no idea what they're talking about. It's amazing, those two, when they get together.
I like to just ask them a couple questions, wind them up, and let them go, man.
Because they can talk
about it for hours.
It's just fun. Like, those two get sitting together and they start talking, and you back up and you just listen. It's entertaining. They need to have a gear podcast.
Trust me. If I could get him to do a gear podcast, we would never stop. There we go. Got it to work again. Sorry, guys. Yeah.
You're good.
Yes. So, Dad, Miyagi, if you want to do a podcast now that I'm not on the trail, because I totally didn't commit to doing This Week in Backpacking like I should have, let's do one.
Well, all I know is, let's see right here. It's, did Jeremiah hook Hunter up with a GoNex webcam?
Funny. Jeff, I saw your question earlier about the Duplex L, and I have not torn it yet, but we'll see what happens. I keep the tape in there just in case. And then Riff Outdoors, I assume that you put this comment, but you get paid during the summer. Earlier, whenever we were talking about kind of the stressors of preparing for a longer hike, and it is kind of true that you get paid during the summers, but as a teacher, really, they just take your contracted salary and then they pay you, split it up every 2 weeks. So I don't know if you're technically only getting paid for the work you did. They just kind of prolong it. Yeah. But I think that, Rich and I'll be good to go. We'll save up and we'll do that, but you're right, man. It puts a big time financial strain, especially if you don't have the money saved back and have money to walk back into. You know, I can only imagine how hard it would be being on trail for 5 or 6 months and then showing back up and you're like, well, today's Friday. I guess I need to get a job, on Monday. That would be a big time, almost culture shock.
Yeah, you're right, man. Some people, they are like, oh, I'm going to take another month. Oh, I'm going to take 2 months and really like find something that's going to make me feel gratified of what I just did. Because a lot of people that like think like you change as a person or you change as a hiker, and some people do. But for me, I've been pretty level-headed. I've always had a great perspective of like in and out, trying to see all ideas. And whenever I came home, it was like 3 days and I was back at work, and it just hit me full in the face. And I was like, this is rough. This is intense. The world's in a whole other different speed. Everybody's got like theirself in a hurry. No one has patience for each other or time or energy to give. And well, on the trail, it's different.
I was saying, when you came off the trail, it was at the height of everybody's stress.
Yep.
I mean, it seems like we're starting to come out of some of that now. The world, at least here, it seems like people aren't as freaked out as they were, you know, a year or so ago. But man, when you came off the trail, it was right in the height of everybody just high anxiety. Okay, so All Things Outdoors said, I would love to hear that podcast. Do it, Miyagi.
Uh-huh. Hey, big thanks to All Things Outdoors. He sent me a pillow and is, by golly, my favorite pillow he's ever made. So thank you so much for sending that to me. I've been really bad on doing reviews lately. Thank God I was able to put out a review for Devin at Waymark. We got a little video made. I thought it looked pretty good, but I need to get back on the camera. This camera went day one all the way to the last day on the Appalachian Trail. And guys, I carried it in my hand the whole time. So every pass, every Mahoosuc Notch climb step, every up and down, every rainstorm, that camera was in my hand. I didn't put it on anything else. I didn't put a capture clip.
Wow.
I carried this thing the whole way. So the fact that it's working is enough for me.
Why'd you do that?
Because I'm stubborn and I want my camera in my hand when I see a bear. And I didn't get a picture of a bear.
It's because you were holding a camera.
Yeah, I got a picture of an owl finally when we were in New York, but it took forever to see one. But I wanted to be able to get pictures as soon as possible. And I think I took like 2,000 photos the whole time, but I think I've got like 200 or 300 that are my favorite. So we printed off some of them. We have them hanging up on the walls in here of us on Franconia Ridge, because that's our favorite. I think that was probably the highlight of our trip, Franconia Ridge.
Nice.
Well, Jess is on the way, by the way. She did just text me, so. She's going to try to make it.
Maybe good. That'd be great. Hey, Jeremiah, somebody needs to get you another water bottle plastic mouth lozenge, because that one's shot.
What is a mouth lozenge?
Apparently, it's what you've got in your mouth, man. You know, like cough drops, they're also called lozenges. So, no. Did you get another one?
Well, that was from a bottle of water I drank earlier because I stay so hydrated, you know? So I got a different one here. Look at that. Untouched.
Oh, look out. And he's back at it, folks.
Try not to do one more than one day. Try. So Riff Outdoors has a very interesting question. And if you're okay with answering it, I'm okay with asking it. It's probably going to get us demonetized, but that's okay. Hunter.
You don't have to say the last word. We can all read it.
Okay.
Hunter, we'll just call it the virus.
Yeah. Did you get any flack for being out there?
No. No, so we didn't at all. You know, there was a lot of chatter about it because 2020, I canceled my through hike of southbound on the AT. I was going to do it 90 days. So the vid is the reason why I canceled my hike and the reason why Jess canceled her hike. She made it to Amicalola Falls and had to cancel her hike. So she was at the start. Yeah, she made it there and had to cancel. We caught no issues. I mean, even trail days, they acted like it wasn't a big deal. They just didn't do the parade. And then I would say there was a lot of people on trail that were talking about it. There was a lot more of the COVID talked about. Sorry, I didn't mean to say it out loud, but it didn't exist on trail. I'll just cut to the chase. It didn't exist.
Interesting.
No one kept their hands to each other. No one had an issue drinking waters or anything after each other. It was like your bubble away from reality. It was the perfect time to do it.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't like that in the real world, but you know, the weird thing, have you ever seen that show Yellowstone?
I believe I have.
Got Kevin Costner. It's on Peacock. So my wife and I have been watching it, and Basically, it's like a modern day Western, right? Following these ranchers. And one of the people on there is a Native American. And as you know, the U.S. has a long history with the natives. Some terrible things happen. And one of the characters said on there, basically, there's this giant corporation trying to buy them out, you know, wanted to take over. And he was like, he was explaining to this guy, he was like, look, you're going to be rich beyond belief. You know, you won't have any worries, blah, blah, blah. And this guy's like the chairman over this organization for the tribe, right? And he's like trying to explain to this real estate mogul, like, I don't want your money. What you don't understand is us as natives, here's what we see. We see you in a concrete world building houses made of sticks and bricks, and you want us to get jobs to pay for those things that we don't want. And he basically was telling him, like, look, if we could live the life that we wanted to live, we wouldn't need those jobs. We wouldn't need to get jobs to buy food to feed ourselves, because we can find food and we can grow food, and we don't have to build houses. We can seek shelter. And I feel like that is almost a perfect analogy of kind of the life that you're getting on trail. It's almost like a little bubble away from that concrete jungle that most of us live in every day. And we're working. A lot of people, the reality is, work so they can pay for a house that they almost never get to stay in, or a car that they're almost never driving. They're just driving to and from work.
Yeah.
So I get a little envious of the trail life, because you get a separation from this reality, this synthetic world that we live in. You know what I mean?
It's the biggest separation. I remember flying back, and I was in Boston, and I remember just dumping my feelings on Instagram. Like, I hate cities. I never want to go into another city. This is too much. Like, what are we doing? People say that there is so much overpopulation. I've hiked the trail, and there's miles and miles and miles of trail out there and land out there that no one's using. It's insane, man. We don't need to all congregate into one small area. We can make it work. And if you're resourceful and you want to be a really low, just a low impact lifestyle, and you don't want to have a lot on you. Like, Jess and I live very minimally. We don't keep a lot with us. We got a couch, we got a TV, we got cats, we got mountain bikes, backpacks, and that's enough for us. You know, like, we used to, when we got home, it was like, oh, okay, well, now we need to save up money and go to the next hike. But now it's like, we're doing whatever we can to try to get to the next hike. We're planning on doing the Florida Trail next year. That's our goal. And if not, then cancel that. We'll go to the Arizona Trail. But a lot of our friends are now doing the PCT. And yeah, you do get a little envious, and you are like, damn, I wish I could do that. But it's, Jess is here. Jess is on the way. She's about to show up. A little late, but nice. Better late than never.
Late.
Yeah, she's coming.
Hi.
All right.
Okay, I'm there gonna share a headphone. That's
hi, guys. Sweet.
How's it going?
Hey. Good. I just got off work.
Yeah, walked straight in from work, hopped right on. Thanks for joining us.
Cheers.
John,
yes,
actually,
if you have any questions for Jess, go ahead.
Actually, we had a little segment planned for the two of you, because we don't know Jess, because, you know, we know you, Hunter, but we don't know Jess. So we decided to create a little something special, a little segment we like to call Love Connection.
Oh, gosh.
So basically, we want to just ask you guys a few questions and let you guys answer them, so we can kind of get to know you two together a little bit better and find out a few things, if that's okay with you, Jess.
Of course. Let's do it. I love the little intro. That was snappy.
Oh, we got to do it right. You know, we got to do it right. So, okay. So the first question I want to know is, who noticed who first?
Are you answering this or am I answering?
No, he's asking you.
I'm asking both of you. You guys can tell us what you think.
It was a little different because we were friends, like, on social media.
We were both with Light AF. We were ambassadors.
Yeah, but he came and picked me up to take me to Trail Days, and it was like that first hug, and I noticed how tall he was, and I was like, oh, wow.
It was love at seeing my tie-dye shirt.
Yeah.
Ball stature.
Okay, next question. You got to be honest. Who's the better hiker?
You are. Ooh, me.
You are.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be honest. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's I have longer legs and I'm taller. It's chin. Yeah. It's literally the defining factor of a hiker.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm short and not skinny. So like that definitely would not. Yeah. Let's go on from that. Okay. So the next question, who works out harder in the gym?
Yes. Yes.
Hands down. Yeah.
100%.
I follow you on Instagram, Taps. And thanks. I see, you know, you got the Instagram game going and it looks like you are going through some rigorous workouts. Hunter was telling us a little bit about him earlier.
Yeah.
About you basically getting him on a regimen. So are you turning him into a bodybuilder? He's a pretty skinny guy. He's black cat like.
Definitely not a bodybuilder. But I don't know. I don't really do like more so like bodybuilding, like strength focused. I'm just all about like endurance, as fast as I can go and as long as I can go. So that's kind of how my workout routine has been. And although he is the better hiker, I think I can still like outlast him in a workout.
She's not lying.
Yeah.
No, this is all factual. I don't like to run and I don't like to sweat, even though I'm pretty good at hiking and I don't sweat much. So it worked pretty well.
Yeah.
Wow. That's impressive. Well, okay. Now he did say something earlier that caught me off guard. So I'm going to test what he said earlier. He said that he met a girl who likes gear as much as him. So yeah.
I was watching him when he was saying that. So, I do really like gear, but I will say that he knows way more about like, oh yeah, that's the Fabric 7D45. And I'm like, who knows that? How do you know that? Oh, it weighs 6.2 ounces. And I'm like, how do you know that? So that like granular as he is, that's how I was whenever I competed and when I did bodybuilding. Like you can hold up half a cup of oatmeal and I'm like, okay, that weighs 40 grams and it has 24.5 grams of carbohydrates in it. Like stuff like nutrition, I got it, but on gear and like fabric, you definitely have it. But I think I know some stuff too.
You know what?
Well, if you know some stuff, I got a question for you.
Okay.
What's Hunter's favorite backpacking brand?
Waymark. That's our favorite. Or Deliberate Life Design. Yeah, the sandals. Yeah, okay. Those definitely by far have the most miles out of any gear he has at all.
I've got a pair of sandals that have over 1,000 miles.
Oh yeah.
Pretty great.
Actually, that's awesome. Speaking of the sandals, before we go to the next question, Hunter, would you mind sharing with us real quick what the experience was like in sandals? Because we've had several questions about your sandals. Joel asked if you have any toenails left and a few other people. So what was it like? Any issues with the sandals out there?
I had the healthiest, cleanest, most least damaged feet on trail.
Literally like noticed. Beautiful feet.
People notice. The only time it was an issue was in the alpine bogs of southern Maine and New Hampshire, where your legs just go 3 to 4 foot deep into just muck and just gross. I was getting cut up, but I sized my sandal up just a tiny bit. So right around, like if you can imagine this as your foot, I never like kicked my toes off of much at all. My heels never really hit anything on the backside. And the way Adam makes his shoes or sandals for Deliberate Life Designs, they're custom to your feet. So he does a foot tracing. So your sandal will never not fit you.
That's impressive.
I did destroy a couple pair, like absolutely destroyed them. But he's worked it out to where I've got like my exact model down that I can, the new pair he just sent me, I'll be able to get 1,000 miles out of them. But if you know what you're doing and you step correctly, you change your gait from heel to toe, toe to heel, midfoot striking, and you really work your feet and you have the feet strength. To me, it's like, I don't understand why people wear shoes. If you slam your feet into your toe box and you break your toes constantly, because I didn't wear socks either. If you get blisters from socks, the worst thing you get is a tan line. That is like the worst thing, which I love it. I love my sandal tan line.
I will say that's like the number one thing that any like day hiker said to us. Like they would be like, oh, you guys through hiking? We're like, yeah, Georgia to Maine. And then they're like, wait a minute, and they would go beeline straight to his feet and be like, Are you hiking in sandals?
It was a daily event. Yeah.
That's great. Okay, last question. And this is for both of you.
Okay.
This is of utmost importance. Who smells worse on trail?
I think you both smell good. No, I think we both don't smell that bad.
I don't know. We have really clean diets, so we don't eat that much junk food. But we had we both came out of being like vegetarian / vegan, except for fish on the trail. That would be the only meat we'd eat.
Was that pescatarian? Is that what that's called?
Yeah. Non-dairy ovo-pescatarian. Like eggs and fish, but no dairy.
we ended up doing more chicken and protein because you learn real quick you have to, because I lost weight real fast out there. I had to start eating more. We would shower because I had a pocket shower. Shout out to
Sea to Summit
pocket shower, the best trail invention of all time.
For like $10 too.
It's a 10-liter dry bag that holds up to this small, and it's got a nozzle that you can twist. And we showered every single night with Dr. Bronner soap, and we didn't smell at all. It was the best. This is probably if you had to ask me my favorite thing besides my backpack and sandals, the pocket shower.
Yeah.
It's $35. Go buy one. It's worth it.
Wow. That is the first time. Period. That's the first time I've ever heard anybody talk about taking a shower every night on the Appalachian Trail.
Well, see, we were like newly together too. So it was like, we didn't
want to keep the level up.
Yeah. Like it was brand new. I mean, still for it, like a year, but still like we wanted to not stink super bad. Or you just do like the baby wipe bath.
Yeah. I carried deodorant for 90% of the trail.
I did not.
I don't blame you at all on the shower. Like on the long trail, there's one point I went 10 days without a shower.
Yeah, we definitely.
Well, the longest was the 100-mile wilderness. That was like 8 days, and I think it was too cold that we didn't.
It was too cold. Yeah, that was rough.
Shower. Yeah.
Well, the worst part is like if you're not showering, you have to do the baby wipes, or at least I did, or I would chafe so bad, like where my thighs rubbed together.
Yeah.
That right there will
be. It's important to get all that salt off from your sweat. So the pocket shower worked for us. The bidet, you know, that works great too. Even if you're not using it as a bidet, just to spray down your thighs and your undercarriage.
Your feet that get pretty dirty too.
My feet got dirty, but they stained. Like they just stained. They just would not be clean. But they didn't. They weren't gross looking. They just like the. It was almost like the dirt just went into my skin. It was the weirdest thing.
What about your toenails?
Lose a single one.
No, but were they – so my toenails, whenever I was doing that month-long thru-hike, it was very muddy. And even, like, when I would shower and stuff, it seemed like the mud became one with my toenails.
In Vermont, yes. That's true. So the Vermont mud is not just mud. It's a clay mud mix, and it just cakes on everything. And it's – and people aren't kidding. It's Vermont. It's rough. It's just straight, thick. Like from the gutter of your house, just like nasty. But you just got to keep going through it.
Yeah, mentally exhausting.
Yeah.
Well, we got a bunch of people commenting. Ben McMillan jumps on here and says, just logged in and we're talking about showers.
Hi, thank you for the new bags, Ben.
Yes, we love our new food bags.
Yeah, Ben is the man. I just had some Bucktown Elbow from good old Hilltop Packs Coffee while I was waiting for this to get started tonight. So
he's got
so love that Hilltop Packs Coffee.
Hilltop Packs Coffee. He's got this new like metal
Apex
brand.
Giant.
Yeah, this man's
Apex
Giant.
It's coming, man. I've seen some of the stuff he's making.
Hilltop Packs Apex brand.
I'll tell you, he's going to own backpacking. Doc Watson says we use a shower head that screws onto smart water bottles.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. And then Riff Outdoors is just against all of it. He says, if you didn't stink on the trail, then did you truly through hike it?
I just feel like any little thing that you can do to keep your mind right when you're out there for months and months, like I'm all for it. It doesn't weigh much and it's just make it helps you sleep better. So that way you hike harder the next day.
And you can do it. I through hiked with a 30-liter backpack the whole time.
Yeah.
And I never overfilled it. Not once. So I don't know what you people are doing. Just get a smaller backpack.
this may be the first time I've heard Hunter like advocate for really any luxury items. Like he refused to take a chair whenever we would go.
Oh, I talk crap on them still. I hate chairs.
That's okay. But it's good to see you. it's good to see that you found a piece of luxury gear that worked for both of you. But I'm curious where you all butted heads at. I know it was, you know,
had to happen. Had to happen. Nobody's perfect.
Yeah. Even hostels. So towns to visit and hostels to stay in. I did the research before time and it's like, this is bad. The comments are terrible. And she would say, well, my friends just said they didn't say there would be a good time. So it's the individuality of wanting to do your own thing, but knowing you're in a couple and you can't just be like, oh, I'll see you the next day. It does not work that way. Yeah. You won't see someone for a month and you'll see them in the next state or two states ahead. We met some of our best friends at the very end that started the same day as she did. So it's not linear. Like, you live in a different time. Like, when it says, like, small bubbles, I think we had the busiest trail year of all time. Like, there was over 7,000 people on trail. It was insane. But a lot of people got off, you know, like, they don't last that long. But we would see people, like, from Virginia at trail days and then not see them until Vermont. And you'd be like, oh, my God, I haven't seen you. Like,
yeah,
it was crazy.
I would say that, too, that was probably, like, a butthead. It was, you know, we wanted to value like our time together, but then it was like, how do we do that while we're in the moment of through hiking and trying to spend time with everyone else? I mean, that's like the same kind of stuff that you would experience anyways in a relationship in the real world is like, hey, it's date night, but like, I want to go out with the boys too. So like, it's hard to kind of like balance, but you just have to see like where your priorities are. And I think we did a good balance of both.
Our priorities were us. So yeah.
Well,
I like being on other people's time.
Yeah, well, and you were talking about being the biggest year. The year before, the trail was shut down for the most part. So,
yeah.
And you know as well as anybody, people who plan to do the trail are planning years in advance.
Oh, yeah.
And so there were people that had to put their plans off for a year, but there were people that had already planned it for that next year. So you're just doubling up at that point with all the people. So I can't even imagine. I know it's usually crowded to begin with. I can't imagine how crowded some of the areas were around some of the shelters.
The start was super busy. I mean, at that first Hawk Mountain shelter, I think it's like literally 8 miles into the trail going northbound. There was 45 tents out there on April 1st. It was insane. I mean, I just went out and hiked the end of the Smokies like 2 days ago since we're out here in Asheville. We're super close to, 300 miles of the AT. So I tried to get out there and just in like a 5 mile round trip day hike, I saw about 13 through hikers.
Wow. So how does everybody fit all around that shelter? 45 tents. Like that's
everybody
like-
stealth camps, man. That's just, we stealth camped almost every night.
Yeah.
You learn to stop staying in shelters.
That shelter, I mean, it fits like 8 or 9 people on the inside. But they do, I don't know, for some reason, that shelter, you can fit a lot of tents, but they were really close to each other.
Yeah, that sounds awful.
Yeah, so it was awful.
Jeremiah doesn't like hiking with 6 or 7 people. I can't imagine what he'd do if he had to camp somewhere where there were 45 tents all around.
Yeah, you just kind of got to get to camp early. Like, and plus, you have to remember, too, at that time, everyone's pretty brand new getting into this. Some people haven't even gone out on like a week long or weekend backpacking trip before. And so they're only really doing 5 to 8 miles a day. So for people who are like more intermediate / advanced in their fitness and their experience, like you kind of have to do those like 10, 16 mile days just to like avoid all the people back up.
Yeah. Not change the subject, but I want to backtrack a little bit where we were talking about backpacking as a couple, and I have done it. And my wife and I did the Foothills Trail with actually the couple that I mentioned earlier, Hunter, with the whole rain situation and the tent that you're using. Same couple. And we did the Foothills Trail. And at times, you know, I spent a lot of time with my wife anyway, here at the house. And, you know, we do stuff together, typical married life, right? On trail, you're pretty much with each other the whole time. And my wife, she's not as comfortable as I am when it comes to like navigation and making sure you're staying on trail and all that. She really is kind of doing it because I like it and it gives us a chance to spend more time together. But while we're out there and actually walking during the day, even though sometimes you're together, maybe you're 40, 50 yards apart, it still kind of feels like you're on, in your own world. Like I put in headphones or something, or she'd do her own thing. Did you all do like that style, or did you like meet up for lunch or do kind of both throughout the trip?
I guess for me, I was definitely trying to get her to fall in love with me. You know, so like I was talking her up. I would hike circles around her and I'd be like, no, like I'm just going to stay with you the whole time. It's going to be great. But nah, closer to the middle of the end, we put our headphones in. I had to listen to a podcast. She listened to something. And then we would like catch up, but we talked a lot. Like, I don't think couples talk enough. We talked about everything, like everything. It was great. But you do get times like I'd wake up a little bit earlier than her and like hang out and then listen to something, watch YouTube. And then I'd go poop and then she'd be eating, making breakfast and like watch podcast or something, because, you know, we have different things that we enjoy. Like I'm really big into like photography and stuff, and she's really big into fitness. And, you know, there's other aspects to us that we bring out in each other. But I definitely think to get that mental clarity of your own perspective, just listen to, I mean, you listen to your headphones and listen to, to like musicals.
But then again, I feel like anytime I would listen to my music, I would just want to take off and go. So then you definitely had to like keep up.
Yeah, I definitely hiked behind her at her pace most of the time, because I can't leave. I just go. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, we never really did the whole thing where like we would split up for like a couple miles and then meet up at lunch. Like I think we maybe only did that one time, and it was like after an argument or something.
It's too much extra work to already like, and I know you're like, through hugging's not a lot of work, but like the logistics, like gut hooks, I will never call it far out. Doesn't make sense to me.
Far out.
You can't get addicted to staring at it because it will drain you mentally.
Yeah.
But it is such a I don't know how people did it before. Like it lets you know every little detail about where your next water source is, if there's water, where it's worth a visit, where it's not. I think that is like the best thing ever. And I would like to try to do a through hike without using one of those guides, but it definitely changed.
And I think that was like a fun thing for us to do together the night before, sitting in the tent, was like, okay, how many miles do we want to do? And we would like look at far out together. Although don't plan whenever you're too tired.
Because it just doesn't work.
Because then like your miles, you're like, okay, I have 25 miles. And then you look at it the next day and it's like 52 miles. And you're like, wait, we ran out of food.
We definitely ran out of food one time. So,
Yeah.
So we have to do something, Jeremiah, because it's getting about that time where if we don't do this, the natives will become restless.
All right.
So you mentioned something just a second ago about getting up in the morning, doing your thing. The really big question is, how did they poop as a couple? And so do you guys have any good poop stories that you can share with our illustrious fans? Oh, great. Let's hear it.
I don't even know what you're talking about. So
what do you mean? This is like of me, none of us as a couple. But okay, so mine was, we were in Salem, Virginia.
Oh yeah, this is great.
So we were in Salem, Virginia, and we went out to eat. There was like a trail angel that lived around there, and she came and picked us up off the trail, and we went out and we got pizza, and we don't eat any dairy. And so needless to say, I had an upset stomach all night. So I took like one of those like smooth move teas, like those like
laxative
teas.
Yeah, those are good.
Right, exactly, but not good when you're hiking out early the next day. So, because they take like 9-10 hours to actually like activate and get stuff moving. So, needless to say, woke up that next morning and we were going to McAfee Knob, which is the most iconic photograph spot.
Like the place where day hikers take over.
Day hikers and families. And I probably had to stop about 5 times on the way up there to like run to go to the bathroom. And there's not really many spots up there.
There are not hardly any spots up there. I've been there. There's hardly any.
Get crafty.
I had to get crafty.
And it was time to go. Like, yeah. She threw her pack down and left. I was like,
yeah, whoa. It was rough, but I got it done.
The smooth move. Tease.
Like that's how trail names are formed right there. Smooth move, like perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome.
So Taps, I'm really happy that you're able to rush in from work.
Me too.
Join us. Wish you could have made it the whole time, but you know what? There'll be opportunities in the future.
Absolutely. It
sounds like an invite back, Jeremiah.
Oh, yeah. It's absolutely an invite back. There's no doubt about that.
I wanted to touch on, he said something earlier. I don't know if you're watching. We're the first backpacking couple that have ever been on this podcast.
Oh, wow. So, cool.
Yeah, I think, and a lot of people have asked us to do them, and it's so hard to explain your personal perspective because there are so many other couples out there. Couples stay with couples, and like it's hard to hike as a couple with other individuals. Like it's its own art form.
Yeah,
it's
not the same. We had a little trail family for like half of Virginia that was three couples, so it was like six of us, but we were like a couple trio, and it was so awesome.
You would meet up at lunch, you would hang out for breakfast, you would do dinner together, but you gave each other space throughout the day. Like it was the best.
Yeah.
It was, some people don't understand like time away from each other because, and they like you and your wives, you know, like, oh, you can have your own inside conversations. You know, you have your own little inside jokes. Other people don't get that. And they're just like, oh, I want to talk to you about everything under the sun since I was 5 years old. And you're like, just be quiet.
I think that kind of transcends backpacking too, because you see, like, as you get older and you know, you're a couple, you hang out with couples. Then if you have kids, then your kids play with other people's kids. And then you kind of become a little friend family group. So it's definitely a different situation backpacking as a couple. And like you said, people aren't, if I'm just going out there and I'm by myself and I'm becoming part of a trail family, I don't really get that perspective as backpacking as a couple, unless I am a couple. Dude, you're totally right on that one.
It's a completely different experience, and we mesh so well because she likes to have pictures and videos taken of her. I love to be behind the camera, which is perfect for me. So my photography skills went through the roof. Her Instagram blew up. It was like the perfect win. It was great.
That's awesome. Well, you know, honestly, if you think about real life, it's the same way with couples. Like, you don't see a lot of single people that hang out with couples very often. Yeah. Because it's just weird. It's uncomfortable, you know, for both sides. Yeah. Yeah. It's just both sides get uncomfortable. But I will say this, our wives aren't here right now, but we're having a blast talking to you two together.
Thanks. So
this has been great. Hey, why don't you guys share with everybody how they can find you guys online? Because I know there's wait a second. Ben McMillan, let's just stop right there. Right there. We're both happily married people. Jeremiah, I'm too insecure to deal with someone who's taller than me. So Jeremiah and I could never work out anyways. So
you wear the pants in that relationship. We know that.
I would totally have to wear the pants, but he would still be taller than me. And I just don't know if I would want to like hug him and look up at him. It would just be really uncomfortable for me. Oh, so
that's what got me. I was like, oh, I can look up at you.
Yeah, that I don't want that. I'm good. So anyways, why don't you guys share with us some of the ways people can find you guys?
Yeah, so I'm more active on Instagram at Taps and Trail. And then, yeah, Hunter right there at Hunter's Trip, Hunter Strip Trip.
Yeah, we've been doing a little bit more YouTube. I just put out some stuff for Waymark Gear, and I got some stuff coming for our Deliberate Life Designs and that new tent, that tarp tent that we just got yesterday. Oh, yeah. We're gonna do a little video about that because that was crazy. And then
so which one did you get? Well, hold up. That didn't get mentioned earlier. What
the,
did
it's
you
the
get?
Mountain World Designs. I got a Mountain World Designs Duo Mid in 0.75 DCF. It's a $600 tent, and we got it for $120. Like, check your local shop. Check and see if they got returns. Check and see if they do gear trade. Because I walked in and was like, yeah, this is insane.
That's awesome. Well, Jeremiah, you got any more questions for these lovely people before we get ready to sign out of here for the night?
I don't have any questions for them, but I do want to say a huge thank you to you all for taking the time to talk to us. And I can't wait to talk to you in the future and maybe meet up in person. I'd love to come visit you guys in Asheville.
Okay. She doesn't know what Miguel's Pizza is. We got to fix that.
Oh, man. That has to happen.
I'm telling her Kentucky's a completely different landscape.
I
want to
go.
It's a completely different type of hike.
Let's just say I'll be having some Miguel's this week. So,
Let us
in my future. It's in my very near future.
Let us know when you're this way. And I definitely.
We're already planning on coming that way. We have to go to Ohio later this year. So we're definitely going to come.
Yeah, you need to. Well, if you guys will hang out in the green room, we still want to talk to you a little bit here in a few minutes. But we're going to get all the technical stuff done here first.
So. All right. Thank you guys so much.
It was great to see everybody.
Dude, that was great. I'm so glad she made it. I'm so glad she made it. I was really nervous she wasn't going to be able to be on here with us, but that was great.
I had a good time, man. And it looks like they are thriving. So I'm happy for them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun talking to Hunter now. Cause it's been what, a year since we had him on here?
Yeah. Something like that. We had him on the podcast before and I've hung out with him quite a bit, but, you know, you grow, you age, you learn, your perspective shifts. It's good.
Well, and the first time it was mostly a gear thing. This time we got to learn more about Hunter and we got to learn about Trips and or Taps. I was at Trips. Sorry, Miyagi. He's not stealing your girlfriend there. No, it was good hearing about Hunter and Taps and just how they met. And it's just kind of cool hearing a little bit more personal stories this time than just talking about gear. So really enjoyed this. It was nice finally getting to meet Taps. I mean, I followed her on Instagram and I've seen a lot of her adventures. So it was nice to see her like pseudo face-to-face, I guess. So, Jeremiah, is there anything you want to share with folks before we get moving here?
I have to say, if we have our meeting tomorrow, I'm going to put it on the docket. I saw somebody commenting earlier about merch for the Jeremiah Stringer Hikes YouTube channel. So I will announce it here first. If we get that up live and running, and then for those four people that want a t-shirt or something, they can buy. I saw somebody commented earlier, maybe you can fund a hike by selling merch. So
there we go.
If we get that merch up and going, there will be an infinite number of shameless plugs in each YouTube video. So that's at least something to look forward to.
And I'm going to be honest, I've got a new shirt coming out in the next week or two and it is 100% poop related. So be ready for that. It's coming. And, should be kind of fun. So we'll see what happens with that. I know I'm going to get you one, Jeremiah.
All right.
I'm going to get you one because if you wear it, I'm guaranteed someone will buy it. I'm guaranteeing if you wear it.
I'll wear it, man. That's
you're my spokesmodel, man. You're my spokesmodel.
I do what I can.
Well, next week, it looks like we've got another great guest on the docket. If everything works out, a lot of it just is based on his dealing with the Appalachian Trail right now himself, but we are hoping to have Mischief on the Trail next week on this show. And, he and I have been chatting, trying to get this to work out. And, for those of you who don't know who he is, he is hiking with a prosthetic and he has a goal of 40,000 miles of hiking.
That would be insane.
I mean, that's insane, but he's a really cool guy. I love his photography. Just an awesome guy altogether. Hopefully that's going to work out next week and he's going to be here. But for myself and Mr. Jeremiah, the king of Kentucky backpacking Stringer, we will catch you guys on the next one.
Adios, folks.